Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me as we get ready to look ahead to Saturday's trip over to Wycombe Wanderers. First up, Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Living a dream, mate.
Yeah.
Well,
you're about to get away from here for a while, aren't you? So you don't have to think about Charlton for a couple of weeks.
Well, obviously, listening back, well, I listened to it on Saturday. It doesn't sound like I missed a lot, which is good, which is a nice thing. We'll say that. You know, I'd love us to win 5-0 and I missed that, but... Yeah, at least I didn't have to go and watch it, like, unlike you, obviously, you two.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And now you're jetting off on holiday for a couple of weeks, so you'll be all right. And also joining us, man who's going on Saturday, Lewis Cat. How doing, Luke?
Yeah, not too bad, mate, not too bad. Yeah, I could do with the holiday, though, to be fair, instead of going to Wycombe.
Yeah, looking forward to getting back on the horse, are you?
Oh, yeah, can't wait. Really looking forward to it.
If that hasn't got your adrenaline pumping for the game on Saturday, I'm sure the rest of the show will as we get ready to discuss the game. With the chair, boys, we're going to hear some injury news from Nigel Atkins, the Addicts boss, in a few moments' time. We'll also discuss with him how he's going to sort of try and learn from the defeats. I heard something the other day that there's no winning and losing, it's winning and learning. I think we've got a bloody doctorate at the moment, the amount of defeats we're picking up, unfortunately. So we're going to hear from Nigel Atkins on that. We're also going to hear from James Richens from the Bucks Free Press. He's our Wycombe expert on the show today. And then, of course, we'll gear up to that game with Wycombe, discuss who we'd like to see come into the team, etc. But first of all, you may have seen the big news today, some injury news that was announced during press day. Let's hear what Nigel Atkins had to say.
Sam Lavelle's fine. He's trained all right. He's just had a move. Obviously, his first game, the emotion of everything. Obviously, you can see he was just struggling towards the end of the game there, but he's trained all really well this week.
Okay, and Ryan Ennis, I think you're waiting for an update on how he is and how serious the injury might be.
Yeah, just to update everybody, Ryan Ennis is going to be out for a couple of months at least with a thigh injury, and Ronnie Swartz is going to be out for a couple of months at least with a calf injury.
Okay.
So that's just to update everybody on that.
Fair enough. So it leaves Alex Gilby and Ben Perrington as close, hopefully, back training, I think you said last week, so...
Yes, Alex and Ben have been back in training. The group's been back in training, Sean Clare as well. So really pleased with that. Obviously enhances the size of the squad with the young players as well who have done great for us so far. So we've got a bigger group of players that are on the training ground now, all working hard.
There we go then. So the big news out of that, obviously Sam Lavelle's fine, which was nice. But Ryan Innes and Ronnie Schwartz, both due to miss 2 months now of the season. Ryan Innes with a thigh injury. That he's picked up. He came off, didn't he, during one of the games? I think it was the Crewe game that he came off during. He's got a thigh injury that keeps him up for 2 months. And Ronnie Schwartz has got a calf injury, which presumably he picked up in training or getting off the sofa or something. But yeah, bad news for both, Nathan. I mean, let's start with Ryan. I think deep down, and it's a shame, but we knew this was unfortunately probably likely to happen at some point. He's had terrible luck with injuries.
Yeah, he's had bad luck, hasn't he? Poor lad. But I mean, when Sam Lavelle come in the window, I thought it was key. I know Deji's, you know, doing well, and he's had a good game. He's had some good games, but I think it'll be too much if we didn't bring Sam Lavelle in. He'd be chucked in now. And I just think if you look at previous centre halves that we had, that we brought in, like Joe and Esri, I just think they're a little bit more developed than Deji is at the moment. So I'm glad Sam's in. Ryan, like you were saying, it. You know it's going to happen, you know, and he just didn't look right, you know, in the games I saw him, he still looked rusty because he's not had a pre-season, to be fair to the lad, but we'll miss him at set pieces. But I just think it's inevitable. I mean, you look at his career, he's sort of been sort of a journeyman, really. It's a shame because he's a good player on his day, but... Yeah, like you say, you just could always see him breaking down and this injury. I don't know if it's the same one. I know is it his quad or something. But...
Yeah, it was his quad last time and it's his thigh this time. So it's
it's all connected though, do you know what I mean? So it could be a time where you're looking at it and go, he's not old. and how many times he's been out, you know, through injury in his career, it's not looking great for him. But, you know, obviously, now we've got replacements in Sam, just let him recover properly, because maybe it was because we rushed him back, I don't know. But it's unfortunate, because he was a great player for us last season.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear they tried to manage him through pre-season, didn't they? He barely played any games in pre-season, maybe played for about an hour tops, or an hour and a half over the course of pre-season, Lewis. And as Nathan said, I guess the only good thing to take from this, and obviously sending our best wishes to Ryan and to Ronnie, of course, is that we probably do have cover in that position now, and I guess we'll really see what Sam Lavelle's all about. He's probably going to have a decent run in the side now.
Yeah, and it's something we discussed on the show a few weeks ago in the build-up to deadline day, when we were talking about positions we'd like to see filled. I think centre-half was one that we looked at purely because of that risk of injury and reoccurrence of injury with Ryan Innes. We spoke about his, you know, staggered pre-season as well, and I think there's always that element of risk. He obviously came into the club at a time where we weren't as funded, and we were kind of making those free signings where we seem to pick up players that have got injury records, but performed outstandingly, as Nave said. Last season, I thought he was outstanding. Has looked good this season so far as well at times, but it's just such a shame that he's picked up another injury, which is going to keep him out for a couple of months. And yeah, it's just as well that we did manage to get Sam Lavelle in. And the emergence of Deji Elorire as well has been a real blessing in disguise, like a youngster coming through that's impressed in pre-season. You can imagine him getting a bit more game time, because, you know, like we say, over the next couple of weeks especially, we've got a game on Saturday, a game on Tuesday, and then Saturday, Tuesday again before Fleetwood, and then potentially an international break. So the fixtures are starting to get congested already, and you may have to rotate players. And, you know, with Ryan being out now, I think we're going to have to look after that defensive pairing, because, you know, Akin Fainwo as well had a bit of a bad injury record last season. So we've got to keep our fingers crossed that we can keep the injuries back there to a minimum. And yeah, like you say about Ronnie, it's a real shame for him. Obviously, at the moment, he's not been in and around the side whatsoever. I think, you know, the whole situation is a bit bizarre. I don't think any of us really know what's happening there. But regardless of his situation being in the squad or whatever, you don't want to see him pick up an injury. So wish him a speedy recovery as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been clear with Ronnie what the party line has been. We've asked over and over again about the whereabouts of Ronnie Swartz, and it's always been his fitness. He came back to pre-season late, and that's all they were willing to say on the record about Ronnie. So, again, feel sorry for him. I mean, some of the stuff I've seen today about just people forgetting that he is a human being, and Ryan's a human being as well, and just saying, I'll just get rid. I mean, we still, you know, they're football players that we've asked to play, and unfortunately they've got injured. We still need to remember they're human beings, and I think the last thing they need when they're as disappointed as they will be that they can't play is just to see hundreds and hundreds of fans tweeting, I'll just get rid of him, Nath.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we sit back a little bit and scale it all the way back to the beginning, he joined us from Midtjylland, and he was an outcast there. He wasn't playing, he wasn't fit then. He came in to us because we needed some players, and it turned out that we was on a sort of a late of season surge towards the playoffs. So obviously Bose was needed to play, the Chucks and Jaden, because they were performing well, and he couldn't get in the team, and rightly so. So he wasn't really up to speed at the end of last season, really. And then personal issues have happened over the summer. I know he got married, whatever those personal reasons are, and he's tried to get back into it, and he's broke down. So, yeah, like you say, he's human, and it's not like he's got injured on purpose. I think we can all speculate the reasons why they are, but, you know, everyone's entitled to a personal life. Just because they kick a ball around on a field, it doesn't mean, like you say, they don't have feelings and that. I feel sorry for him. You know, we were just saying off air, I know it was that small glimpse against Accrington, but you can see there's a player there. And I'm not being funny, I know it's the Danish league, and, you know, the standards he was at before probably wasn't in comparison to maybe Championship or Premier League. But listen, the hardest thing to do on a football pitch is score a goal, and he can do it. And he's proved in his career he can do it. So disappointed. But again, when I heard it, it surprised me, no, because obviously the club have needed to try and get him up to speed, and he's obviously broke down for whatever reason. So, but there's not much we can do, you know, in the famous word of Bose, it is what it is, isn't it? So we just got to crack on, and hopefully he gets himself fit, because what's that going to be? What, 2 months? You're looking at, what, the end of November? You get a couple of 23 games, you're looking at early December. Right? And then you've got Christmas, and then it's January. And then they've got to make a decision, right? Is he going to play any part of this season? Or if not, you know, what's going to happen then? So, I don't know. I don't really know. It's a shame, because when he came in, he had good pedigree. And it's someone that could finish. And even Bo said that he can finish. You know, and even he said that about Naby Sarr, and we all know how amazing Naby Sarr is.
Yeah, starting has been a problem, though, unfortunately.
Exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, unfortunate.
Yeah, some good news in that clip, Lewis. We heard that Sean Clare and Alex Gilby and Ben Perrington will be in training. I mean, bodies we need. I think Perrington will be an interesting one as to whether, you know, who sort of becomes the first choice left back between him and Soare. Obviously, we haven't seen much of Pap yet, but certainly pedigree there that you'd think would make him the first choice. I mean, or am I looking at that too simplistically because he's played Premier League football and Ben Perrington hasn't?
No, not at all. I think it gives us a diverse set of left backs. You know, we've spoken before about how Ben Perrington's maybe not the best at going forward, and perhaps Suarez a little bit more known for being able to push forward and create chances. And I think Pat will be a real addition, because it's been mentioned before with Charlie Kirk about how well he worked at Crewe when he had Harry Pickering running either side of him as well, and overlapping on that side with an attacking left back. And I don't think we've seen that from Kirk yet. And I think, you know, obviously the absence of a fit left back has definitely hindered that. So to have Ben coming back and Pap coming in at this time, it's probably a bit of a blessing in disguise, because I think they can work well in different situations. If you are pushing a game where you're at home and you want that attacking outlet constantly down the left-hand side, then you'd expect to see Pap going in there ahead of Perrington, I'd say. But in some of those gritty away performances where you maybe need to batten it down a little bit, and you might not play with wide men, you may bring it in a little bit narrow with a diamond or something where you don't want someone, and you're shutting up shop a little bit, then Perrington's probably the better option. But yeah, it will be an interesting battle, and it's competition we need, because we've gone from having no left backs whatsoever to hopefully in the next couple of weeks having two fit and available and raring to go, and both raring to make that start in place their own. So yeah, an interesting battle between those two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much of a part that Alex Gilby plays as well when he comes back into the side. Obviously all those players coming back in will hopefully help us get out of this little bit of a rut that we've started the season with. 4 defeats already after just 6 games. It's been a dreadful start to the season. Nigel Adkins was asked during press day today about how he is around the place and how he thinks he's going to get us out of this rut.
Now, from my point of view, you're always learning. I always try and do it. It's plan and prepare. Do what you can for the week. And I thought we'd had a really good week's training and preparation. And then it's do the game, play the game. Do everything you can to get the right performance and win. And then afterwards, reflect on it, you know, debrief it, learn the lessons from it. And then it's a blue line underneath it, and you move on to the next one. We play a lot of games of football, and if you dwell on things a lot, that can actually, you know, actually, confidence levels can drop down. You've got to find a way of dealing with it and moving forward. So there was a lot of lessons that we learned from the game. For example, we left in the first half, we were far too, in our defensive shape, we were far too expansive. You know, we need to be a compact shape to press as a team. And we showed some clips for the players in our debrief. And we could just see, you know, 5 yards further up, 5 yards further in, we're compact, we can go and get after the team. And that's just something we talk about constantly. And obviously we changed the shape, that was beneficial. And then you've got to take the chances when they come. But we've put that one to bed and we move on to the next game now, which I think is really, really important.
I mean, obviously say there's never a good time for a game like that to happen, for a performance like that to happen. Is it in some ways, though, better that it comes now so you can address it, and especially with new players to come in, assist the situation in that respect?
You just said it there, but you don't want it to come at any time. However, when it does, even when you're doing well, you're constantly learning lessons all the time. That's an important thing. You learn by failure, but you make sure that you've got to address the situations that happen and learn from that. So, you know, for me, plan and prepare, do, reflect, Brought around
the defeat,
plan prepared again. So we've done that.
There we go, Nigel. Talking a lot about how we need to learn from these defeats. You know, defeats. Unfortunately, we've become expert in already, Nathan. I mean, the start of the season is absolutely baffling. I was asked. I was speaking with James from the Bucks Free Press. We were chatting about Charlton's start to the season, and he asked me if I saw it coming. Obviously, I did not. But it's the situation we find ourselves in. The fact that we need to learn from it is obvious, but that we haven't yet. And I think that's the most concerning thing. I mean, what do you think that Nigel would have spent his time during this week in order to try and make sure that by the time we travel to Wickham on Saturday, we look like a different side to the one that we've seen for pretty much all of the season so far?
Shape for one, a system of play. I know it sounds pretty basic, but obviously judging by how it sounded and obviously listening to him post-match, if you're playing with 11 individuals, you're not going to win a game of football. And I know you can learn from your mistakes, but I'm not being funny. We've played six. And to be fair, I mean, I know we played well against Crewe, but let's have it right. It's not like they've, you know, their squad's been decimated and they were missing their centre-half, Luke Offord. So, yeah, we played well, but it wasn't like they didn't have a shot or they weren't threatening or anything like that. I just think it might have glossed over it a little bit. That's not to say that it can't get positive, because you know, I'm a positive person. But if we are going to learn, we're going to have to learn quickly, because these next fixtures ain't going to be easy. And if you take after the Portsmouth game, if we don't get any positive games results from that, then when are we going to learn? Because we would have been what, a quarter away through the season or something, or just under a quarter maybe. So yeah, I mean, I would imagine he's working on shape, because you can't be that open. I mean, again, I wasn't there, I didn't see it, but listening to it was just constant barrage from Cheltenham, who are a good side. So yeah, you'd imagine just getting people to know what their roles are. I think at the moment, is when I've seen us, we look disjointed, we look static, we look devoid of ideas, we look one-dimensional, we look passive. We just look like we don't really know what to do. So you'll get, you know, the fullbacks are clip it down the line. And if Jaden doesn't do something spectacular from 60 yards out, do you know what I mean? And that's what it is. So he just needs to sort of try and figure out a system that's going to work. Maybe that'll change when you've got someone with a bit more energy and a bit more know-how with Harry Arter. But again, I don't know how fit he is. But I mean, on the pitch, it's got to be against a good Wickham side who have kept more or less their team, you know. So we're going to have to be well drilled and be harder to beat, because it sounded like it was so, you know, it was really easy for Cheltenham on Saturday.
I mean, how much of that sort of lack of cohesiveness amongst the side, or cohesion is the real word, do you think it will still come down to the fact that the transfer window was so slow and we were effectively, you know, if you look at the side that will play Saturday, it'd be interesting to see how different it is to the one that started the season on the opening day against Sheffield Wednesday. It feels like there'll probably be like three or four different players starting that team already. Just six, seven games in, we've had to almost start again. And, you know, how much of this poor start, Lewis, is down to the fact that we simply weren't ready to kick off the season when we should have been?
Yeah, it's definitely a contributing factor and probably the largest one. I mean, how many times have we discussed season after season recent, you know, over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, where we're going into a season completely undersubscribed and without a full squad, and with plenty of business still to be done in the window. And, you know, other teams are trying to get business tied up quickly. You know, Wigan did very well in their rebuild in the summer, and they've had a really strong start to the season. They look decent. Ipswich are a side that have done that and haven't adapted yet, but that just shows that many changes, it takes time to gel. And when we're making those changes and bringing in those new bodies on deadline day or just before deadline day, we're giving ourselves a little bit of a catch-up to do. You know, we played four games by the time the window had slammed shut, 4 or 5 games, and, you know, at the moment, we're not showing huge amounts of signs of improvement. And Nace bang on, I think that with the Crewe game, I think we all got that little sense of optimism because we managed to win a game. But that's a Crewe side that, you know, have been completely decimated. And we were brought back down to earth by Cheltenham, who just simply outplayed us by doing the basics better than we did. And there's a lot that, you know, I take it that there's a lot that needs to happen behind the scenes with training and getting people to gel and everything. But I felt the international break and everything came at the right time for us. But there was a lot of optimism going into that Cheltenham game Saturday with the new signings in the building. And I think we needed that as a bit of a lift going into the game. And it just turned out that it was just, you know, it didn't really contribute. And we found ourselves on the end of another disappointing defeat. But yeah, quite how much of it comes down to the recruitment being so late, I don't know. But it has to be one of the bigger factors, because you're leaving yourself open and not giving yourself time to gel as a team and playing people out of position. Or, you know, Albie Morgan is the key one here, playing in that number 10, which we don't think he's suitable for. And it's so much pressure has fallen on his shoulders at, what, 21 years of age. And now all of a sudden people think he's playing terribly and he's becoming sort of the brunt of fans' abuse and everything, which, yes, his performances haven't been at the standard we probably expect of him, especially now we probably expect him to be like a permanent fixture in that starting 11. But also he's still only 21 years of age, and there's a lot of it. For me, we were totally underprepared coming into this season, and I think that we underestimated the challenges of the season ahead. But we can't change that now. We've got bodies in, and now we need to start working with what we've got to try and turn this start to the season around, because so far it's been pretty dismal.
Yeah, and the mental aspect of being on such a poor run at the start of the season as well, Nathan, I mean, surely can't help. I mean, again, in his press day today, Nigel sort of mentioned about this sort of proverb from Tiger Woods, the golfer, about, you know, how you take a shot, you take a few seconds to sort of analyse that shot, whether it went well or badly, but then you step over almost a metaphorical imaginary blue line. And then the second you're on the other side of that line, you're thinking about the next one now, and that shot's gone, it's put behind you. So obviously Nigel wants to learn quickly from these games and then put them behind him, and you're into your pre-match for the next game. How are you going to be better this time? But even if you are sort of trying to get that in your head, surely there is a hangover and some nerves and whatever comes into it from the games that have happened before. You're at the back of your mind, you're thinking, we're on a bad run here, and now I'm under even more pressure in order to go and put this right.
Yeah, I think when it comes to that point, that's where it comes down to your professionalism and your bravery. You know, be brave, get on the ball, make a difference. You know, like, I mean, talking about quotes, what was it? Johan Cruyff said, playing football is very simple, but playing simple football is the hardest thing there is. It sounds simple, but it is. But we make things so complex and make life so difficult and ruin our percentages so much by going long so much. And I know, you know, Nigel was saying that we weren't passing it and we were going too direct at times. And it's things like that. It's like, it is a confidence thing. I agree completely. But that's when you're going to need someone on a pitch. You know, maybe it's a Dobbo or someone in that central midfield position. Like a Watson. That's what Watson should be doing. Like, you know, lads, come on, let's get it down and play it simple. Move. But we don't move. We're so static in our play. The only option is to go long. You know, and it needs you to be braver. At home, I'm not being funny, Cheltenham, like we've said it, we've given them plaudits, and rightly so. But you're home against Cheltenham. Why don't you have that swagger about it? You have the arrogance and just go, no, we're going to play, we're going to dictate the play here. But we don't, we never do. I mean, to an extent, we did sometimes under Bow, but we just look devoid. But that's where you've got to, that's what they're getting paid for, right? It's all right doing your tricks and doing all that sort of stuff. If you want to do that, go a circus. But you've got to put the graft in, win your individual battles, and then it's simple. And then if you win your individual battles, you'll win more games than you lose them.
We've hit a low point when we've got to a part of the show where Nathan is literally suggesting that some of our players join a circus. But you know, I'm kind of with you. I mean, league table, right? Everyone says 10 games when you start to look at the league table. Yeah, that's fine. We're on 4 points at the moment after 6 games. The team currently in sixth, the end of the playoffs, are on 12. So we're 8 points behind them. I mean, if we were 10 games left and you had to make up an 8-point gap, you'd still be a bit concerned, wouldn't you, Lewis? I mean, at some point, this gap is going to have to be made up. And it's probably time that we start to really worry that if we don't turn this around shortly. I mean, I did the maths the other day. I mean, the season could, if we carry on with this level of form, the season will be over in 5 games, and that's incredible to think, considering it feels like we've only just started.
Yeah, 100%. And you say, yes, it is early on, and sometimes looking at the table is probably a little bit premature. But when you look at the gaps that are opening up, I mean, Ipswich obviously down there with us as well, probably be in a similar position at some point. Yes, the gap's there now, and yes, there's only, 6-7 games played so far this season, but like you say, that ground has to be made up. Doesn't matter whether you make it up at the start or at the end, you've still got to make it up. And you, like I've said before about giving the others head starts by not doing our business early, this is exactly how we've done it. You know, it looks at the moment, you know, 6 points away from the playoffs. We've got that game in hand because of the international break, but so have a lot of other teams, really, when you look at the table. So, yeah, it's what Nave said is bang on, really, with the performances so far. It just feels like we're totally off the pace, and we just looked average. Like, we looked between average and good against Crewe because they were so poor. Apart from that, there's not been a performance this season where we've looked in it whatsoever. We look completely devoid of confidence. We don't seem to know what positions and formation we're playing. We don't know what system we want to play, whether we're going to lump it long or keep it short. Whatever we do, it doesn't seem to work. And it's incredibly frustrating. That there's a hell of a lot of work to be done to try and turn this around. And especially with, you know, a lot of our players coming in so late, that, you know, they're players that have either been, you know, let out on loan because they're not getting in their side, or a free agent. So they've got to make a claim, and they're probably a bit low on confidence, and the team's low on confidence, and the fans are a little bit, you know, shy of patience at the moment because of how bad the start's been. So, you know, yes, it's early doors at the moment, and I look at that table and think there's a hell of a lot of time to turn it around. Of course there is. But, I mean, even now, the next four games we've got, they're not easy games whatsoever. You know, Wickham at Wickham, that's a tough game. Gillingham away is never an easy place to go. It's, you know, it'd be a little bit of a feisty affair on a Tuesday night. It'll be a quick turnaround for the players. And then we've got two massive home games against Portsmouth and against Bolton, who are flying. So these next four games, you've got to be looking to pick up points in them. And they're all difficult games. And if we get through these four games without picking up, you know, a decent amount of points, then, as you rightly say, it's going to become a real worry. And 10 games played, I'd be incredibly concerned if we're still in the position we are now.
Well, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that have come in ahead of Saturday's trip to Adams Park to take on Wickham. Steve emails in saying, "Hey chaps, first time messaging in for me this season, mainly because it's been so naff on and off the pitch. Adkins has got to make changes this week, or I fear that the fans will really turn. The immediate concern has to be the midfield. Morgan and Watson offer no protection for the defence, but also don't show for the ball, forcing the centre-backs to go long too early and often. Watson has to come out for Dobson." I mean, all right, so we'll chat about that first part immediately then, Nathan. Obviously, talk about the midfield. I mean, I thought Watson actually had a couple of good games before the international break. I think he did quite well in the win over Crewe, and I think even, was it the Wigan game, he actually did okay, to be fair. But clearly, I feel like we again struggled to control that part of the pitch against Cheltenham, and we have struggled to control that part of the pitch at times. Obviously, Albie, you know, as I keep saying, I feel like this is the busiest season he's ever had for us. We keep seeing him on the ball quite a lot, but it's probably now starting to get to the point where we're just getting a little bit frustrated that we're not seeing, I don't know, enough from him, enough end product, enough feeding the strikers, whatever it is, it isn't quite working for me. So, I mean, the midfield is certainly a situation I think Nigel Adkins will want to try and get a grasp on. And that was a problem at the start of the season as well, when we had Dobson and Clare in there. He's tried to change it a little bit, and it's still not really clicked just yet.
Yeah, I think the word is balance, really. I think with Albie, I agree that he should be playing deeper. I think Albie, with his back to goal, coming to receive a ball, isn't him. I think, in my opinion, Albie's better when he can look up and he can see the play in front of him. But I think to have that, we know his defensive position is questionable, which is fine, which he can learn as he matures in the game. But to have that with him, you're going to need someone who's quite agile who can get about next to him, which Watson isn't. You know, I mean, what Watson's done in his career, he's had a great career, he's won FA Cup, scored an FA Cup final. Absolutely incredible. But for me, Watson's a player that you bring on 1-0 up, last 10, want to see out the game, and you get the ball on the floor and pass it. That's the sort of player that I was expecting Watson to be. I weren't expecting him to start in the slightest. So, yeah, I mean, and then you could say, oh, well, Dobbo could go in there. Yeah, he could, but I think that's quite, I don't know, it just seems quite, not lightweight, but it just seems quite junior. I know Dobbo ain't a kid, but I just don't think that balance is there. So at the moment, it's trying to find that sort of system that suits Albie, because technically we can get on the ball and he can make things happen. I think he set up a couple of goals. I think he's got two assists. I could be wrong already. So technically he's fine, but I agree that middle part of the pitch is a key concern, and he's going to have to find a balance. I still think something Claire can do a job somewhere because he's got legs. And on the transition, we have nothing.
They've all got legs, Knife. They struggle if they didn't.
But the thing is, as soon as we get the ball, we have two options. We either go long to Stockley, or we clip it in a channel, play the percentages to Kirk or DJ or Leko or whoever. But there's no one there to carry that ball. And I think that's what we lack. But it's just trying to find that. Because if you're an opposing team, all you will do is you'll go narrow and go right. If they go one up top or two up top, they'll have one in a hole and they'll go like, let's flood this middle of this pitch because Albie and Ben ain't going to get anywhere near if you buzz it about. Mm. No chance. They ain't going to put it on their toes. But that's the balance that Nigel's got to find. And that's the only part of the game that I'm worried about. The main thing is not passing enough and doing the simple things. But that's the weakest part of the pitch for me. But yeah. That may change now. Harry Artisan, if he's fit.
Yeah, hopefully. Right, yeah, so Steve continues the same. It can be said for the fullbacks who, in a 4-3-3, have to provide the width and the outlet, which isn't happening, and again forcing us long. Matthews has been getting off lightly with fans, but Gunter has to come out. He's been awful. I'd rather your nan played left back. We need Leko and Washington back in on the wings and Lee in a number 10 role. Hopefully this will provide cover to the fullbacks, but also help support and get closer to Stockley. I'm not confident for Saturday now, but it's a massive game. I fear Adkins only has 4 games left to turn this around, or we will be in a real relegation battle. Normally, I'd not be worried with the squad we have, but the performances are so bad, we actually look like relegation fodder. Worrying signs there. Cheers for that, Steve. Right, Jimmy says, I don't care if it's the scrappiest, most boring game. I just need to see the 3 points on Saturday. Ask what changes people want to see. Jacob wants to see Jacko coming in for Nigel Adkins. Alan says, a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2 formation would be good to see. Make us be stronger in defence and being overrun in midfield, but would require a fit left back or wing back. Dobson, Arter, Clare could come into midfield also for energy. Leko or Connor up top with Stockley. Take a point and then try for all three against Gillingham. Stuart said, I'd like to see Atkins let this 4-2-3-1 formation go. It's evidently not working. A very few times we've had good spells this season has been with two up top. Kirk and Jai Simi aren't involved enough with the 4-2-3-1. Washington starts as well. Gabriel says, you have stuffed me. I follow both Wickham and Charlton. My beloved late dad played for both of them. So just both wishes and no injuries. That's Gabriel Bicknell. Monty Streak says, if fit, I would like to see Sean Clare return. He can help us win the ball higher up the pitch and hopefully press their midfield. I think we need to switch back to a 1-4-3-3 as we don't have the midfield for a 4-4-2. Tom says, rest Morgan and Kirk. Bin off Watson and get Arter, Leko and Dobson or Clare in, and we'll definitely see a change in how the team plays. And Lewis Stubbs, very very honest, just says, I don't know how we can get any better from here. I think he means that, not as in like we're really good and it's impossible to get better, but just he's not sure what needs to change.
imagine he meant that, like we can't get any better. Yeah,
there's no improvement. You can't improve on perfection, Nath. I've always said that. That's why I never tried to make the podcast any better. But anyway, right, let's have a break. When we come back, we'll chat some more about Saturday's trip to Adams Park.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Into the box, looking for Stockley, he gets it in! And there's the opening goal! Charlton scored a delivery, and
absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan, picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive. He got above the centre-half. He pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and directed towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're pondering Saturday's trip to Adams Park to see if we can improve on perfection, as Lewis Stubbs is asking for us to do. Obviously, it's an interesting record we have against Wickham in that we've beaten them every single time we've played them in the league. 6 wins from 6 games in the league, although we've never kept a clean sheet against them either in the league. It's really bizarre, or at all, because the only other time we played them was, of course, that 2007 League Cup quarter final when we were in the Premier League. I think they're in League Two and they came to the Valley and beat us 1-0. It was a very disappointing evening. It's been a very disappointing evening so far. Well, the entire season has. So let's hope that we can improve that. Now, I spoke to James Richens from the local paper up there, the Bucks Free Press, to ask him about Wickham Wanderers, obviously relegated from the Championship last season. I asked him about the start to this campaign.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty good. I mean, 6 games have gone, three wins, you know, 50%. It's not the end of the world. I think Wickham have started off very strongly, and I think that was evidently clear in the first game against Accrington Stanley when they went out the traps and were 2-0 up in little to no time thanks to 2 Gareth McCleary goals. And they've hit a bit of a hurdle at the moment, but I like to think that Gareth Ainsworth will be able to get them out of this small little rut that they're in. But I have no complaint, no issues with the way the season starts. I think it's been a very positive.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, how would you sort of assess what the expectations would have been for this season? Obviously, because when Wickham went up, it was a big surprise. You know, a lot of people saying one of the smallest clubs ever to have made it to the Championship. It was sort of uncharted territory for them to now be back in League One, but to be looked upon as one of the sides that perhaps, I mean, were they expected to challenge for promotion again?
I believe so. Like you said, a lot of people weren't expecting Wickham to be promoted into the Championship, and a lot of people expected Wickham to struggle. And at the start of last season, they did. They went 7 games about to win, or 7 straight losses, I should say, in the league. They had to wait until Halloween to pick up their first win. But as the season slowly went on, you can see the performance is improving. And at the back end of last season, they defeated the likes of Bournemouth, who were fighting for promotion. They narrowly lost to Cardiff, who had a revival under Mick McCarthy. They beat a very strong Middlesbrough side away from home. And you can see that they were learning as the season went on. So whilst relegation was confirmed on the final day of last season, there weren't really any tears. A lot of people were positive, because if you saw the performances, you can see that Gareth Ainsworth had a good thing going. And I spoke to him at the start of this season. I said, has last season just been a continuation of this season? He said, yes. He said they were on a good run of form. They won their last 2 games. They won 3 of the last 4 matches. And it was just a case of just carry on what you're doing. And I think this season, Gareth Ainsworth is certainly aiming for the playoffs. I think anything outside the playoffs won't be a disaster, but it'll be a huge disappointment for Wickham considering the success they've had over the last couple of seasons. But deep down, they'll like to try and go to the top three, but they'll settle. I believe they'll happily settle for the playoffs.
Mm. Obviously, you mentioned Gareth Ainsworth there, one of the coolest managers in the EFL, and coming up to 9 years at Wickham now. I imagine still pretty universally loved by the Wickham supporters.
Oh, he really is. He's loved not just by the supporters, but by the people of the town as well. He has done so much for that club. And he's not going to be with Wickham forever, but so when the day he does go, it'll be a really, really sad day, because he's been at Wickham since 2009 when he was player, became player manager, eventually becoming full-time manager. And he's done a lot for the club as well. Like, he's bought stuff for the training, for the training regimes. He's done a lot for the club, and he's a real solid guy as well. And if you speak to him and speak to others, I don't think anyone's got a bad word to say about Gareth Ainsworth, he's a top bloke, and Wickham have got a top guy in charge. And even after the losses last season in the Championship, he was still sub B. And he always said, I can see this club going places. I really, really can. And he was right. You know, they went to some great stadiums last season and got some very good points. And they're just hoping they can continue that this season. And going back to what you're saying, he's a top bloke. And, yeah, Wickham are very lucky to have him.
And another person whose longevity is impressive, obviously, Adebayo Akinfenwa. Who's been at the club for a while. I mean, does he still play a big part? I mean, obviously, literally and metaphorically.
Oh, he's been with the club since 2016, and he signed a contract extension in the summer, and he also confirmed that this will be his final season in professional football. And he's done a lot for the club as well, both on and off the field, and he'll be a huge, huge miss when he does hang up his boots in next year. And for this season, though, going into it, whether or not he'll start many of the league games, I'm not too sure. He hasn't actually started any league games so far this season. He did start the League Cup victory over Stevenage at the back end of last month, where he scored a brilliant goal. But with the likes of Sam Vokes coming in and the new signing from Bristol Rovers, Brandon Hanlon, I think he'll find it hard to make his way into the starting 11, but no doubt he'll be on the bench and making a difference if Wickham need his services. And I spoke to Gareth Ainsworth a few weeks ago about him, and he said that he is absolutely fine with his new role now, which is great, because he's a brilliant professional, Adebayo Akinfenwa, and he'll be sorely missed, not just by the Wickham fans, but by everyone when he does retire in April, May next year.
So who are the players that the Charlton fans should be wary of? Obviously, you mentioned Brandon Hanlon, who actually came through our academy and did make a few league appearances for us probably 5 or 6 years ago. But, you know, is he one of the key men? And who else would you say was among the most important players for Wickham?
Well, Hanlon made his league debut for Wickham last week in the 0-0 draw against Oxford. And despite it being a stalemate, he's shown signs of real quality. I spoke to Gareth Ainsworth about him, and he said that he's not 100% there yet. He's still lacking match fitness because he didn't have a pre-season. He made his debut in the Papa John's Trophy against the Aston Villa under-21s, and you can see that he's not 100% there yet. But when he is there, I think he'll cause defences a lot of problems. But the players I think that Charlton need to be on the lookout for are Gareth McCleary. We can sign him as a free agent last season after he was released from Reading.
Yeah, former Bromley man as well. I saw Gareth's first ever goal in senior football, actually, funnily enough.
Because you're a Bromley fan, I've heard.
Yeah, I go down there sometimes, yeah.
And I reckon he'll be one of the players that Charlton need to keep an eye out for. He scored twice against Accrington Stanley, and whilst he's not scored since the opening day, he's got himself in some very good positions and has been unlucky not to have a few more goals. And he was also named as Wickham's Player of the Month last month, so he's one of the players to look out for. Defensively, Wickham have been solid, I believe, despite maybe leaking one or two goals here. So I think Ryan Tafazoli and Anthony Stewart, the centre-back partnership, I think they are two players that Charlton need to keep an eye out for. Oxford, in my opinion, are one of the best sides I've seen in League One, and it was a breeze for them, both Tafazoli and Stewart. And Tafazoli said last week, not once did he feel like Oxford were going to score past them, which goes to show how confident they are in what they can achieve. So I personally believe, attacking-wise, Gareth McCleary will cause Charlton a few problems. And defensively, I think Anthony Stewart and Ryan Tafazoli will be two key players for Wickham this weekend.
So finally, how do you see the game going then on Saturday? Obviously, Wickham's won both of their home games. As I sort of mentioned to you, Charlton haven't started very well. What sort of game do you think it's going to be on Saturday?
Well, on paper, I like to think that Wickham will have a very professional performance. But as we all know, you can never guarantee anything. And looking at the heads-to-heads, we spoke about it earlier, Wickham have got probably one of the worst records against any club in Charlton. 6 league games, 6 league losses. So there's nothing to suggest that a shock isn't on the cards this weekend and Charlton can go over the points. But I think with the way Wickham are playing, I think it should be a Wickham win, so I'm going to go for a 2-1 Wickham victory.
There you go, excellent. Thanks to James for joining us on the podcast. Plenty of interesting stuff there about Wickham. It's an interesting one, obviously. I mean, when they went up from League One a couple of seasons ago, Lewis, it was a massive shock. But now the tables are sort of turned because they have had that season in the Championship where they did almost stay up in the end, having recovered from a poor start. And now all of a sudden, I think a lot of people see them as a team that will be fancied to hit the top six, you'd say, sort of this season. So the tables have almost turned. This will probably be the first time we've ever played them where we're not heavy favourites.
Yeah, 100%. I think their promotion a couple of seasons ago was a real sort of fairy tale, which is nice. You know, I really like Gareth Ainsworth and what he's done there with the time he's spent there. He's been there. I think he's the longest serving manager in all divisions, I think, which is
coming up to 9 years now, which is some achievement.
Yeah, some achievement. And
or the, shows the thing a massive got, lack of ambition.
Yeah, all that. But the thing they've got going there is really good. You know, it's sort of this like family club feel. They're all together, and seeing them go up was really good. And they were unlucky to come down in the end. You know, it could have gone very differently if Derby had ended up getting sanctioned and having their points taken off them. It could have ended very differently for them. So yeah, I think they'll be fancied, and rightly so, definitely for a top six space anyway. They've done some strong business this window as well. You know, I think they brought in Sam Vokes, which is a decent signing, and you know, it's a really nice sort of story surrounding Wickham Wanderers. And yeah, like you say, it's probably the first time we're going to play them where we'll probably be the underdogs. So yeah, I'm looking forward, despite how bad we've been recently, I'm looking forward to going to Adams Park. It's a funny ground and where it's located, but I've really enjoyed it every time I've gone. So I'm looking forward to it as an away trip on Saturday.
Yeah, it's easy to really enjoy a ground that we always win at, of course. But, I mean, one interesting signing, obviously, Brandon Handler, who's joined up, former Charlton sort of youth product, did play, I think, nine substitute appearances in the league for us when I looked this up earlier. Now, if I was surprised he actually made that many, but I do remember him coming on here and there. He ended up, you know, after he left us, I mean, we loaned him out to Bromley, ended up going to Gillingham, where he got 13 in 70-odd league appearances, which isn't too bad, and then seven goals for Bristol Rovers. Seems to sort of be refinding his level at League One level. And he's only 24 as well, so it's probably similar route to the one that Joe Pickett took.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing Brandon there, and he looked a bit... It reminded me a little of when Carlin first came on the scene. He looked quite raw. I was surprised he obviously left us or whatever happened. He wasn't not at the club anymore. So I was surprised that he sort of left, because I thought you could see, you know, he's got good pace, quite a good physique at that age, and he's obviously found himself a little bit. But yeah, he's going to be a threat, just like they've got quite a good sort of forwards, haven't they? You've got Brandon, and you've got Kai Kai. You've got the old Bromley boy of Gareth McCleary, aren't you? Still going. Sam Vokes. They signed someone else the other day, didn't they? I'm trying to think who else they signed.
Hanlon's only just come in, so that might be who you're thinking.
Might have been them. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, because without really Hanlon coming in, you're looking at Sam Vokes, he ain't going to beat your back line, is he? So you could have maybe pushed up a little bit with him and beyond.
Guaranteed he's going to beat our back line on Saturday. Now you said yeah. that. He's going to find a way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think when he was playing for Gillingham, I think he played against him, he was a bit threatening, but he was never, you know, prolific. But listen, he's at a good club in Wickham. He's got a good manager, good stable, secure club. So I hope he does well apart from Saturday and when we play him again. But it's always nice to see obviously former youth products doing well, just like Joe Pigott.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, obviously from a Charlton point of view, it's a massive game for us. We desperately need to start to sort of turn this dreadful start to the season around. And Nigel Atkins was asked about it during his press day today, asked if the likes of Harry Arter and Jonathan Lecco are in contention for a start on Saturday.
Everybody's in contention. You know, obviously after the... and we're moving forward, we've got a large group of players who all want to be involved and all want to play. And, you know, we've got a good energy about ourselves going into this game.
Wickham and Gillingham are two potentially contrasting styles, two contrasting teams at least. I mean, Wickham just down from the Championship, so they're bound to be going to be a tough side. Gillingham, Steve Evans' side, Gillingham, always going to be a tough ask. So the one good thing is that we'll have travelling support, good travelling support. Gillingham sold out now, I believe, and there'll be a good support coming to Wickham as well. And Courtney, is it for a positive reaction, so give those travelling fans...
Oh, listen, the fans have been great. You know, they're right behind the club, the team. You can see it when we're doing well. They're right behind. It really lifts everybody. And I totally understand when things aren't going well. Everyone's entitled to vent frustration. Totally get it. Right? But when we're doing well, they're right behind the players. And they've been really, really good. And it's great that we're going to have that support to cheer us on as we enter a very tough game against Wickham. And obviously, as you said, against Gillingham. And then we've got Portsmouth after that on a Saturday. And then we've got Bolton. You know, and then we've got Fleetwood, and then we've got Southampton. So there's a lot of games we're going to go and play. And they're going to be tough. When you say contrast and styles, they're going to be very competitive. You know, Wickham, Gareth Ainsworth's done a great job. He's been at Wickham for a long time, and he's done great. Got to the Championship last year, they've come down. They're a very tough team to play against. You know, you can listen to maybe what Carl Robinson might have said at the weekend about their performance against them the weekend. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be tough. So we're, what they do very, very well, and we've got to be prepared for that.
There you go. That's Nigel looking ahead to the game with Wickham. Pressure on him, definitely, I'd say, at this point, Lewis. I mean, he'll be so frustrated with how badly the season started. And, I mean, the email from Steve said it earlier. There will be pressure on him to sort of turn it around a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. There'll be pressure straight away, I think. You know, we're already seeing frustration grow very quickly. After the game on Saturday, obviously the performance didn't help, but we've won against Crewe, then come out and lost again. It was sort of the immediate return to that negative atmosphere that we saw at the end of the Wigan game as well. So there's a lot of pressure on it. You know, as we've said before earlier on this season on the show about how everyone's expectations were raised by Thomas's ambition and by what's been said last season, and Nigel saying that when Hull were lifting the trophy on the last day, saying that could be us next season and stuff. You know, there's all things that have led us to raise our expectations. And ultimately, in terms of club stature, we should be a club that's fighting for promotion. You know, we should be. No one has a God-given right to be in the top six, but we should be, given the players that we have signed, the manager we have and the experience he has. We're someone that should be fancied to be at the top end. So at the moment, the performances have been nowhere near good enough. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Nigel to turn it around because, you know, for us as supporters, we're finally in a time where we've got a stable ownership, an owner that seems to care about the club and is a bit more present. And all of a sudden, you know, the off-field issues are gone, but now the on-field ones are taking over. So there's a lot of pressure to turn it around. I hope Nigel does, because I think that he's definitely got the CV and the experience to do so. He's done great jobs at former clubs, but football is a very harsh business, and given how vocal fans have been at the moment about their disappointment in the performances, I don't think, you know, he's got quite a limited amount of time to turn this around. You know, I think it'd be a bit premature now to say that his job's at risk, but as I've said, football is a results business, and if we're not turning this terrible start around, especially in these next four games, which aren't easy games, by the way, there's going to be a real amount of pressure on Nigel.
P for Positivity has just tweeted in, said, "I would like to hear less talk and see more action. All of this old ball about good energy about us in training is meaningless when it's followed up with a performance like the one against Cheltenham. If the players care, then let them show how much they care on the pitch." I mean, obviously last week it was, you know, we'd had a really good week in training by all accounts from what Nigel was saying. And if I guess a pre-match interview, I mean, they have to do them, and they can't come out and say, "Oh, we've been dreadful in training this week. We're looking really sluggish on the training ground." So it's sort of like caught in between a rock and a hard place there, Nathan, because there's not really much you can say. The only way you can do your talking is with the results on the pitch.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like you were saying, Nigel's not going to come out and they've been useless this week. Yeah. But
don't know why I bother sometimes. Honestly, don't.
Yeah. But so, I mean, like, you could go and bang 15,000 goals in training. It matters on a Saturday on 3 o'clock, doesn't it? So, and I think, you know what? We've all seen it before. You're going to have off games. And let's hope, you know, that Saturday was just an off game and there was too many people not turning up at the party and, you know, not turning up with a bottle of wine, they're turning up with a bottle of, I don't know, Mad Dog 2020 or whatever it is, but because that's how they play.
I was going to say, that might explain the goalkeeper conceding 15,000 goals in training. I mean, obviously it doesn't really matter too much about the Saturday, but you would ask some questions if you've let him 15,000. How is that even possible? And they do the maths. Is there enough seconds in the day to do that in training?
I did think I exaggerated a little bit.
So, hang on. So see, there's 3,600 seconds in an hour. How many hours do they train a week? About about 2 hours, five times a day.
Yeah,
so
about 3 hours.
Yeah, so let's say, I'll just put 10. All right, so yeah, I mean, they'd literally be conceding more than one goal a second there, Nathan.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's why.
Just sums up the start to the season we've had, doesn't it?
But that's why Ronnie Schwartz has done his calf, because he was banging him in.
Yeah,
that's what no one knows.
His magazine's injured. He's got an injury.
Oh, digressed.
I think we have digressed a little bit there. I did actually ask. I have a question to ask you, Nathan, in terms of preferred changes. I mean, yeah. I am calling for, if he's fit, for Jonathan Lecco to start in some way on Saturday, surely.
He's got it. I think DJ and Kirk, I didn't even know they were playing first half, but they were on the pitch. I don't know, I just don't think DJ had that little bit of momentum and then he's sort of gone off a little bit, and we've been banging on about having competition for places, right? So we've been going, right, you know, we've got all these players now, the wing, you know, in the wing positions and that, if people have bad games, we could do it. Now's the time to do it, 100%, because what that will say to DJ and to Charlie, going, listen, you had a bad game Saturday, listen, it happens, but I'm going to bring Lecco in now, I'm going to bring Connor in now, because you weren't good enough, so you try and get back in, and that's how it should work. I think for me, if you start, I'm not scapegoating those two, but just as an example, if you then play both of those on Saturday, it doesn't really say much for, unless people aren't fit, unless Jonathan Lecco's not fit, but I'm pretty sure he could do 60 minutes, you know? So, I don't know, I would definitely change it up, and after the way he came out in post-match, it wouldn't surprise me if you see four or five changes. Mm. I mean, you've got the letter, maybe Purriton can play, is Pat going to get some minutes? I reckon you could probably see a fair few changes.
Yeah, well, there. So I make that just under 1.4 goals a second we've got to concede for 10 hours of training in order to concede 50,000 goals in training. So that's quite an impressive amount, Nath.
Well, to be fair, Jan Kermigan used to do about 28,000 in training a day. So
those days are over. I mean, the importance of Saturday's game, it can't be overstated, Lewis, for us. You know, absolutely, we have to get out of this rut. Absolutely, we need to start to see the team gelling. If there are new players starting on Saturday, they absolutely need to sort of start off running, hit the ground running. Because, as already mentioned, we can't afford for this blip to go on any longer now. It's sort of got to the stage where it's getting a bit silly and it's dragging everyone down, and it's going to ruin the season before it's even started.
Yeah, exactly that. I think, like I said before, I think the patience of fans is wearing thin a little bit. And you want to see these performances turn around. And I think it's a good opportunity to do so Saturday. It's going to be a difficult away trip, you know, don't get me wrong. But maybe we need a trip on the road to try and turn this around. You know, maybe we need a performance away from the Valley. You know, the pressure off a little bit, going in as the underdog. Maybe that's what we need to, you know, if we go away from home against one of the sides that are fancied and manage to get something out of that game, it'll do us the world of good for confidence. So, you know, a great opportunity to turn it around Saturday. I agree with Nath. I think there's going to be changes. I'd like to see a 4-4-2, personally. I think Stockley's just too isolated on his own. We just leave him up there. People mark him out of the game. And we saw it against Cheltenham. They just, you know, just marked him. The two of them doubled up on him. And every time he did win a header, he seemed to concede a foul. So you need someone up there with him supporting. And whether that's Lecco or Connor, I'm not sure, but I'd like to see that change, I think. Just a little bit, you know, to go back to basics, try and play a 4-4-2 and just see how we get on.
Excellent stuff. Right, just before we leave, I've got an email from David who wants to bring everyone's attention to an evening with two former Charlton players, two former Spurs players as well, Terry Naylor and Martin Robinson, doing a fun night, an auction. There's going to be raffle and food on Friday, the 14th of January. So that's at Blackheath Newbridge Social Club. I'm told that Terry Naylor will be signing copies of his new book. So it's £20 for a ticket. Do a search for Blackheath Newbridge Social Club if you want to go into an evening with two former addicts, Terry Naylor and Martin Robinson. So thanks to David for sharing that information with us. If anyone wants a link as well, drop me a tweet or an email and I'll send you the link for the tickets. Right, excellent. We've come to the end of this week's big match preview. Very big match for the addicts coming up on Saturday, hoping and praying that we can pick up 3 points as we travel to Wycombe Wanderers to take on Wycombe, obviously. Wouldn't be telling anyone else there, would we? Right, thanks to Nathan and Lewis. Let's get out of here, I think, before we I mean, the amount of goals we would have conceded in the last few seconds in training is doing my head in terms of the numbers. Let's just get out of here, Nath.
Yeah, thanks, lads.
Cheers, Lewis.
Cheers, guys.
Enjoy, lads. Good, cheers, boys.
Good. Have a good holiday, Nathan. See you there on Saturday, Lewis. And don't forget, after the game, Lewis will be marauding around the local Wickham area with a microphone after your reaction to the game. So if you see Lewis after the game, go and give him your views on the performance. We'll play it on Sunday's podcast. We will be back on Sunday to look back at that game. Hopefully, it will be a desperately needed 3 points for the Addicts. Right, thanks for listening. I'm Louis Mendes. We shall see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.